This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. The summer of 2016 is winding down, and it actually could be one for the record books. Every day last month, the temperature in Atlanta was hotter than average, and so this summer could break the record for average high temperature. Joining me to talk about the heat is Pam Knox. She's an agricultural climatologist at the University of Georgia. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What's the difference between an agricultural climatologist and, I guess, just a regular old climatologist?
Well, most climatologists are used to doing a lot of different things. I'm working in the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences at UGA, and so I focus on looking at climate trends over time and how they affect farmers and other agricultural producers.
So as soon as you mention climate, some people are immediately going to get their hackles up. Is it fair to say that our high temperatures this summer were caused by global warming, or are we still looking at a weather pattern here?
No, I mean, you would never attribute any single summer to global warming. The pattern that we've seen this year has been very consistent. That's really been unusual that we've had so many days in a row where high temperatures have been at 90 and above, and low temperatures have been at 70 and above. And really, we're not setting any records for daily temperatures. We haven't had many days in the hundreds. In fact, I think in Atlanta, they just had one day that had 100 degrees. So we're not setting any daily records, but it's just the consistency of the heat that's really making it warm this summer.
So if we do break a record, how much are we talking? I mean, what is the usual average high temperature?
Well, of course, it depends on where in the state you are. And so it's a little hard for me to give you a single number for that. But we're probably looking at 2 to 3 degrees above the long-term average.
And that's a lot. 2 to 3 degrees is a lot, actually.
It is. I mean, some of the stations, for example, in Athens, I think we're going to probably break the record, but maybe by only a tenth of a degree. It really depends on how high it gets today. It's that close.
Okay. I'm speaking with Pam Knox, who's an agricultural climatologist at the University of Georgia, and we're talking about the hot summer that we are still experiencing at this point. You can tweet us about the heat at OST Talk or join the conversation on Facebook. We got a tweet from Kate Hines, who's actually visiting from New York, who says, "It's not the heat that bothers me. It's your aptly named fire ants." And you're not a biologist, so I'm guessing you can't talk about the fire ants, Pam.
I cannot.
But where is the hottest parts of Georgia? As you look across the state, how does the temperature sort of fluctuate?
Well, let me start with the coolest parts. The coolest parts are, as you might expect, up in the mountains because the elevation helps cool off the temperature. You get a little bit more air movement there as well. Along the coast, it's actually not quite the hottest because there you get sea breeze and the effects of the water, which typically is a little bit cooler than the land is. So the hottest part is the lower Piedmont, which is along the fall line that goes from Columbus to Macon to Augusta, and just farther to the south of that, where the land is really flat. There are a lot of pine plantations and not a whole lot else. And that's probably the hottest part of the state.
Okay, so now that we've been generalizing for a while, let's get to your specific area of expertise, which is the effects that climate might have on agriculture. When we're not talking about really high temperatures that might sear a leaf's edges, but just a continued heat that doesn't even abate overnight, what effect does that have on farms?
Well, one of the issues that we see is when those nighttime temperatures don't drop, it causes a lot of stress. And that stress can happen on both people and livestock, but also on crops. All living things really need a cooling off period at night to kind of reset and get rid of the heat stress that they have from sitting out in the hot conditions during the day. If you don't have that cool period at night, then your body or the animal's body, depending on what you're looking at, really doesn't have a chance to reset and release that extra energy. And so it builds up over time. And usually by about the third day, it really can cause some severe effects if the temperatures are really high at night.
And what kind of precipitation are we seeing? It feels, I mean, completely anecdotally to me personally, it feels as though we've gotten a lot of rain. Have we had enough water to sort of balance out the heat?
You know, it's been very variable across the state this year. The northwest part of the state was the first part to go into drought, and they've had some tremendous problems because the dry spell hit right when the corn was supposed to be pollinating, and pollination requires a certain amount of moisture, and a lot of the corn crops just didn't really set any kernels in their ears this year, so the farmers have lost most of the corn crop there, whereas in other parts of the state, the timing was a little bit better. They have gotten more rain recently, so they're starting to see some growth in their pastures again. Of course, it's too late for the corn now. But other parts of the state now are getting drier. The driest part of the state lately has been the coastal areas. I think that's going to change over the next few days, but at least for now, that's the driest part of the state. We've seen drought really starting in the northwest part of the state and then expanding to the whole northern part of the state and Atlanta as well. But it's moved south since that time. Now there's some areas south of Macon that are also seeing really dry conditions.
So there are places in the state that are still in drought?
Oh, absolutely. There's extreme drought in some parts of the state. Other parts are just in moderate drought or just abnormally dry. But I would say probably at least a third of the state is in some sort of drought condition right now.
I assume there's a scientific meaning behind that. What's the difference between an extreme drought and a regular drought?
Well, it's a question of how extreme it is, you know, what the water deficit is, how low the stream flows are. If you're looking at soil moisture or if you're looking at groundwater levels, then you look at the effect of wells. And there's different kinds of drought. Agricultural drought tends to be a short-term drought that's caused often by high temperatures and a real lack of rainfall, whereas hydrologic drought, which is something that affects water supplies, is a much more long-term kind of water deficit.
So what are the crops that Georgia grows that are most affected by the heat and the drought? Is it going to be something like peaches, which is moist inside, it holds a lot of water?
Yeah, well, the peaches are almost done now, so I don't think that we're going to see a lot more effect on the peaches. There have been some issues with peaches this year in terms of being smaller than usual, which affects their marketability, but I think the ones that they've grown have been really fantastic. And so I don't think the peach crop is really going to be hurt. That tends to be hurt more by things like late frosts and things like that. This year, I think corn has been an issue in some places because corn really requires rain at specific times for the pollination cycle. Peanuts and cotton also require really quite a bit of water. If you don't have irrigation, if you're doing dry land farming, then you depend totally on the rainfall that is occurring, and you have to have that at regular intervals or the crops are really going to suffer.
So what's coming for the, not just the farmers, but the rest of us, I think, are wondering this as well. Are we going to see a break in the heat at some point, or is this summer going to bleed into fall?
Well, for climatologists, today is the last day of summer because we do summer by calendar year. So September 1st will be the start of fall for climatologists, whereas if you're an astronomer, of course, you got three more weeks. But I think what we're looking at is we're in neutral conditions now. We're not in an El Nino or a La Nina. We're in neutral conditions, but we're swinging towards La Nina. And likely what that means is that this fall will be above normal in temperature and probably below normal in rainfall. You know, that has mixed blessings because you do need some dry conditions for harvest of certain kind of crops, but you still need to have enough moisture so the pastures can keep going and things like that. One thing I would really like to see is the switch into La Nina and how strong the La Nina is going to be. If it's a strong one, we're going to probably see warmer and drier conditions than normal continue all the way through the winter months. And that could be a question for what's going to happen next year. But that depends on how strong the La Nina is. If it's a pretty weak one, we're more likely to see conditions favor the La Nina signal in the south part of Georgia rather than the north part.
Are we getting a La Nina? Is that what you're saying? Or we don't know yet?
We're skirting right on the edge of it now. We've been seeing some La Nina conditions in the eastern Pacific Ocean. It has to last for a certain amount of time before they'll officially declare a La Nina. But I think the likelihood is that we are going to go into one. Most of the predictions are that it will be weak, so we'll probably see most of the effects in South Georgia and not as much here in northern Georgia.
Okay, so what does that all mean when we boil it down to our temperature? Does that mean that we are going to continue to see high temperatures for the rest of the year? Does it mean next summer is going to be hot as well? Do we have any idea?
Well, we're following the curve of the sun now, and so temperatures are going to decrease. I think we're going to probably see lows in the 60s by this weekend because a cold front's coming through and it's going to bring drier conditions and cooler temperatures. And I think everybody's going to be waiting for that. But I do think that we could see some time periods over the next few months where the temperature is above normal. Now, obviously, it's not necessarily going to be hot. It's not going to be 90s because it's fall.
Yeah.
And so we would expect it to be cooler then. But I think we could certainly see some days when it's well above normal in temperature. It will probably be punctuated by periods when a cold front comes through and we get some relief, which is what we have not seen this summer.
That is correct. Pam Knox is an agricultural climatologist at the University of Georgia. Pam, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
As you just heard, we haven't gotten any relief. What that means is that this summer could break the record for average high temperature. We'll see if that happens.